Welcome to another Directions Media podcast. This is Adina Schutzberg, executive editor. Before the release of FME 2010, I had a chance to talk to the dynamic duo behind the company to find out more about the release. FME is a flexible and powerful spatial ETL toolset that makes it easy for you to translate, transform, and integrate spatial data in any format or application. Now, once we got started, I had a heck of a time slowing Don and Dale down. For those of you who are not familiar with FME Workbench, it's the graphical environment where you specify the transformations that you're building to manipulate your spatial data and its associated attribution. Joined today by Don Murray and Dale Lutz, the co-founders of Safe Software, and they're up in Surrey, British Columbia. Hi, guys.
Hi, Adina.
Hi, Adina.
Okay, so the big news up there is the shiny brand new version of FME 2010.
Yes. And we're very excited about that. You know, Don and I think is it now, this is the, 20th release?
I think so.
Yeah, we can't believe it ourselves, but each time we're always amazed at how much better we can make our product, how much more we can do for our users. We know that already we've had feedback from our customers that even though as much as they loved FME 2009, once they start using the features that are in 2010, they just can't go back.
Yeah. And that highlights one of the big things we focused on for 2010 was making FME much more usable. So it's always been, people have always found Workbench to be a very productive environment. But with each release of FME, we work to make it even easier to use. A few years ago, we were excited by the pink dot that made it easier to connect things. Now with our dynamic help that just is always there, as well as this technology we're calling Quick Add, where users just basically type in transformer names and they pop down. It's very painful to try to go back and use 2009 after you've used 2010.
So we had, of course, our big user conference in the middle of our development cycle. And at that user conference, we unveiled a lot of the things that are key features. We already had them in the can, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But one thing that happened at that user conference that I don't know was publicly talked about was that we gathered together a group of about 20 or 30 what we consider to be our kind of power users, or somewhat sampled from the audience as well.
I have to admit that I knew that was happening. I got okay. A little bird told me that was happening.
Yes. And so there was a lot of really interesting feedback in that session. And the only saddest thing was that we couldn't have spent a whole day with those people because we kind of just got going and we had to stop. But what we really took out of that was some very key insights about how we could make the product more usable, make them more productive, which wasn't really about expanding the scope of the product, but it was about saying, look, these are things we're doing all the time. How can we make the, for example, improve the help, improve the accessibility of the help, and also let's stop the amount of mouse clicks that we have to do for things that we're doing all the time. And so we went away and came up with some things, as Don said, that I think end up being some of the absolute killer features that are really what prevents people that use FME 2010 from going back to use FME 2009.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny you say that, because so much of software today is all about what are you adding, what are you adding, what are you adding? And it sounds like, in a sense, you're subtracting steps.
Yes. Yeah. And that's, you know, and I'm thinking ahead, of course, as we plan the next developments here, but I think that's going to be a trend that we're going to see. While there is always a need in our ecosystem or niche to be looking at different formats that arrive, and that's sort of the side note that this release, we weren't trying to add formats. That was not really a goal at all. It was we were focused on a lot of other different things, and then we did the graph and updated our accounts. And what was the total, Don?
It was about 25 new formats. Yeah, so we
stay away from that, can you?
Yeah, it was amazing. The overarching theme of this release was spatial data access for everyone. Dale and I were hoping it'd be spatial access for everyone, but we said spatial data for everyone. So anyway, and really what we did there is we focused on adding things for our existing users to make workflows much easier. We also spent a lot of effort in, if you're a brand new user to FME, what can we do to make it easy for you to get started? And so right from when a user starts FME now, right in their face is going to be, you know, some quick ways of getting started with FME. So
that hasn't existed in the past 20 releases.
That's no, right. I know. A little bit, we often have a bit of a blind spot there, because I have to remember our roots. Don and I are both very technical guys, and I think back to the first couple of releases where we were so enthusiastic, but oh my goodness, to get started was a pretty hard barrier. It was all, whip out a text editor and start typing.
That's right.
Basically, you were having to do scripting it without any kind of a development environment. Yeah. And so we continue to get feedback from some newer adopters and try to walk in their shoes and see what we can do and look at what other products are doing and see how that can be adapted to us. Part of the problem with selling a Swiss Army knife like we do is that if you make a great tutorial on how to use a scissor, all the customers that don't care about scissors won't even want to look at that. And so how do we balance the fact that we are a very horizontal tool with providing meaningful help to those that are starting out? And that's a challenge that we, I think, are going to start getting even more development on over the next year as we look ahead, more kind of segmented, shall we say, profiling of our audience, mm-hmm. So that we target things more more directly.
Yeah. And really the beauty of the quick add is that's functionality that every user cares about. Every user cares about being more productive, whether you're new or
yes.
older. The second thing that we do with every release is we work to make it faster. So unlike a lot of software out there where each release takes more CPU to do the same thing, with this release, we've really worked hard to make it faster again. So as you'll recall, 2009 was faster than 2008, and now 2010 is again faster than 2009. So, and you know, so that's sort of our mandate there, each release faster than the previous one.
And particularly, it's sort of an odd technical discussion, which I won't get into the details of, but particularly folks on what I would call a modern Intel CPU, we managed to find some tricks there that crank out pretty much at least a 20% a speed up, in addition to the other speed up that everybody else is going to see. So if you're running a computer that's, I would say, you bought within the last 2 years, you run FME 2010 compared to 2009, it's going to be a pretty big speed improvement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 20% is quite a lot.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fifth off the top. So so that really, again, will help people get more stuff done in a shorter period of time.
We've got productivity enhancements, and we've got features for new users to get them up started. What else is in there?
Well, you know, we've been on this long journey of 3D. I think it's been an educational one for us. As we round one corner, then we see the heights we have to scale on the next. And one thing that I will give credit to some of our technical staff, in particular Chief Scientist Kevin Weeb, for ramming through an important initiative, not really overdone in my objections, but certainly not encouraged by us, but it ended up being very crucial, and that is the automatic and transparent handling of textures or the pictures that are on the side of 3D images. We come from a background in FME where how things look is secondary to what things actually are there. So we used to use the terms representational versus positional. We'd say we're a positional translator years and years ago when we started off, not representational, and meaning that we aren't trying to make the exact same picture. And to a degree, that still is true with our CAD to GIS, for example. We're not really trying to bring those symbols across so that the happy faces show up in ArcGIS the way they did in a design file, but instead you'll know that it's a manhole there and that's what was intended. But in the world of 3D, you can't do that.
Yeah. Because the whole thing's representational, really. I mean, you have to have positional accuracy, but people are expecting to, with 3D, to get a realistic view of their data and of the city or what they're looking at.
Was the user base really sort of raising that as an issue?
Yes, some key clients early on raised that as a key issue, and of course they were right. So that ended up becoming a big piece of the plumbing that's now inside FME. We have a few ways that folks can actually tinker with those images, because that's the other thing. Now FME has a complete raster subsystem in it, and so our next challenge is going to be to give people tools so they could do things like resample all the imagery to lower its quality if you wanted to make a smaller file size, or attach updated images to 3D objects. We can do some of those things already in this release. Creating of those 3D city models from 2D ingredients, that's some of the demos that we've got.
Yep. Talking about formats, the other formats we've added some support for some statistical formats, so SAS, SPSS, R, and over time we're going to add more. And we did that through working with what's the name of that?
The company is called Circle Systems. The package is called Stat Transfer. Stat Transfer is kind of like a bit of an FME type of product, but for the statistics world. And so we partnered with them to bring all of their formats into our fold ultimately.
Was that also user requested?
Yes. Folks even from diverse places, Sweden and New Orleans and other folks, all of a sudden started asking us about, they wanted to take spatial information down to a stats package, do some grinding down there, and then bring it back. And so that's sort of the workflow that we'll be sitting in the middle of.
Yeah, wow. And that also touches on where we get a lot of our enhancements from. In this release, we always pride ourselves on how many enhancements come from users. And in this release, it's been nearly 1,000. So listening to users is great. We find out what's really hot for them, and then putting it into the release is great. And it also encourages them to give us more feedback, which helps us even be more, yes, more focused.
We don't need you guys anymore, right? We can just go straight from the users over to the programmers.
Yeah, we're just kept around for our good looks. You saw our picture there earlier, Adina.
Right.
We also, an area that we, again, strong user feedback around this from a number of places, was a need for folks to take data from Civil 3D and bring that into GIS. And I think that might be related to stimulus spending. I don't know. I know a lot of work is going on inside of Civil 3D in terms of planning, and municipalities have a need to bring this stuff into the overall corporate scene. And so that's one thing that I'm pretty proud of, an initiative that we did there, so we can bring Civil 3D data in.
Yeah.
Fair enough. And what's going on the FME server side?
Yeah, the big story on server is security. We've added support for security, so we can plug into other environments. We can leverage LDAP and Microsoft Active Directory. We work very closely with our partner in Germany, Conterra, who has a great experience with developing security frameworks for server-based technologies. And we've incorporated a lot of what we learned from them into FME 2010. So really now, if an organization needs to control who has access, either from the authoring side or from the user side or from the administration side, they can now do that with FME 2010. If they want to tie into an existing server infrastructure, they can do that too. So, and that really was one of the big holes in FME 2009, is it was really for a trusted environment, or users, organizations had to build their own security on top of it. Now it's built right into the server. So that's right. The first big story on server. Yeah. I guess cloud would be the other one. And as you know, we've partnered with WeoGeo. They're working to putting FME 2010, some story together on the WeoGeo site and leveraging our stuff in the cloud. So we're pretty excited about that.
Really, the security stuff was quite necessary for the work that they were doing. We've also done some experimentation with the DevPay thing for FME Desktop as a service, which we're just still doing experimentation with that, but we hope to...
Can you explain? I'm not sure that everybody's going to know what that means.
Yeah, basically that's a pay-as-you-go model. So for example, we played around here with creating an Amazon machine instance, which is what you run in the in the Amazon Web Services. And basically you pay for what you use. So if you're using a desktop for 4 hours, you would pay for the 4 hours you use.
Right. So Amazon gets a little money and you guys get a little money.
Yeah, that's right. The way the scenario works is now a customer that's going to actually use this, someone in there is going to have to be somewhat savvy with how Amazon is set up. But assuming that they have an Amazon account and they've played with or used Amazon Web virtual technology before, they would sit down and when they'd sign on to their account and they'd say, okay, I want to use this image from Safe Software called the FME 2010 Oracle Suite or whatever it is. And so they would fire that thing up and it would have a per hour charge.
Yeah.
That's just rolled in there and we would be participating in the revenue with Amazon. So we don't, the customer doesn't actually have a relationship with us. They just have a relationship with Amazon and then magically we get some kind of revenue that's a percentage of the overall take. And so, of course, the interesting thing is what price is reasonable to set and so on. So we have to do some work on that. But I'm told by some of my friends that are in different industries that this isn't a lot different than, say, the 1-900 numbers. Not that I have personal experience with that.
Okay. So how soon might it be before something like that's available that people could tap into?
It'll be about a month after the January 12th release of FME 2010.
So maybe just in time for I just about said the Olympics, but anyway, around Valentine's Day, maybe.
And that'll be a desktop. And what that really hits is organizations, maybe they have peaks of, that they have at times during their cycle where they need a lot of people using FME, authoring new workbench scripts or running it. And so by using the cloud, they're able to, cloud burst, I guess would be the term. Also on the server, as we talked about, WeoGeo is busy working there.
Yeah, so there'll be some more. This will be the year where you start seeing things really rolling out with FME actually being used in the cloud.
Yeah.
Right. And back last fall when we were talking, it sounds like you were doing an awful lot of exploration of the cloud, not only for providing products to customers, but also internally for safe software use.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'll maybe use this as a chance to say that by the time folks are listening to this, we will be rolling out Salesforce.com for both our support and sales use. So we're rolling out the service cloud and our support for that, and then also on the sales side. So that's an area. We've got our email out there too, and
And our whole website's running on Amazon.
Yeah, that's right. We've moved our own like safe.com itself actually is hosted on Amazon today too. Yeah. So we are eating the dog food of the cloud, I guess.
Yeah.
And so far so good, I guess.
Yeah, so far so good. I you know, you really can't tell that our website is hosted by Amazon in the cloud versus what we were doing before. And so yeah.
Yeah, and that, well, in fact, we're seeing a lot of side benefits. You know, one of the things that's brewing here is what's going to happen when the Olympics are on, if people are going to have to come in to work, or will the roads be shut down and so on. That is kind of a concern in the Vancouver area. How will that affect the daily business? But from our perspective, because of so many of these things moved to the cloud, it certainly won't be an issue around accessing some of these key systems for people. Mm-hmm. It's not like our own VPN is going to get clogged up.
That's right.
Okay, do you want to look into the future just a little bit?
It's hard not to. I know Lacker would like to put a gag order on Don and I, but already we've seen a few quite interesting demos here at SAFE of things related to 3D.
Yeah.
You know, as much, we didn't actually say some of the performance improvements as well in 3D were not just 20%. We're talking about like 10 times faster for certain kinds of 3D operations. And as excited as we are about that, we just saw a demo here actually just before Christmas on FME 2011 development, where there's yet another order of magnitude being cranked out of some scenarios. So we're excited around that. I think we're going to see us working with more cities to create 3D city models out of their 2D. That'll be an interesting thing. We've got a big cross-continent, I guess, road show where Don and I are going to be doing, what, 10 cities in 10 days?
Yeah.
No, 10 cities in 5 days.
10 cities, yeah, because we're splitting up. So half will get Dale, half will get Don. Yeah.
So we're excited to do that and meet face-to-face with users, tell them what we're up to, but more importantly, listen to where they're coming from. So that'll take place in March sometime. March 22nd-ish, we kick that off.
Yeah.
So that's a big deal for us as well.
Yeah. And we'll certainly continue with the sort of the four themes that we always have for FME, making it easier to use, faster, continuing to raise the quality bar, and then, of course, support, which Dale touched on, moving to Salesforce.com. What we're really trying to do there is take our support to the next level. You'll also see us on Twitter. We're really starting to work with Twitter again in a way to converse with our user community and get better feedback, be more tightly coupled to our users.
In fact, there's a new – is that rolling out when? Next day or two? Tomorrow. Yeah, there's a new – so that would be whatever in the past for people listening to this. it's the FME Doctors.
Yeah.
We're kind of taking that successful brand from our user conference and throwing that onto Twitter as a clear place. And that already, even this morning, there was some talk about using that as a channel to communicate important updates to customers as well. Mm-hmm. That's a little different than the FME Evangelist, which is about new features and so on. The FME Doctors will be a little more medical, really, in their approach.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, I have to say, it's always amusing to talk to you. It's always educational, and we always get a glimpse into the future. So, Dale and Don, I appreciate your time, and best of luck with this new release and those Olympics that are happening soon.
Okay.
Great. Thanks
a lot,
Adina.
Yeah.
You have been listening to a conversation with Don Murray and Dale Lutz, the co-founders of Safe Software, and we were discussing FME 2010. If you have questions or comments about today's conversation, you can email us at editors@directionsmag.com or leave a comment at Directions Magazine or All Points Blog. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.